this Thanksgiving, to remember America's unfortunate history of human displacement, I'm taking the teacher's job. So do your hand turkeys and watch the movie. All right, settle down. We've got a new student on the roster today, an Angel Beat Bradley? It's unclear whether that's her last name or not. Come in, you can come in.
Thank you so much for having me. And now for my report, My Thanksgiving Vacation by Angel Bradley. I spent my Thanksgiving vacation at my dad's ranch house just outside of LA, which people refer to as the Sticks. Everyone was there. My dad, my older brother, Mistake, which I assume is his legal name, as that's what everybody calls him. My dad's girlfriend Linda's friend, my dad's friend and possible business partner, and his lady friend Maria, an unfortunately stereotyped Mexican woman who is delusional about her musical talents. My dad's tenant, Scott, his new girlfriend, Jennifer, and an escaped mental patient on a murderous rampage. The day started as it normally does, with my brother running around in white face paint, playing riffs on his electric guitar, while everybody else screamed at him for being weird and a pervert. And my dad yelling how he needs a beer and a Valium. He never got that beer or that Valium, but he did go to his bedroom where I suspect he felt his girlfriend's boobs. That always seems to calm him down.
Wow.
Everyone was preparing dinner when my dad's girlfriend's friend realized we didn't have wine. She and my dad's girlfriend Linda left in Scott's car to go get some. My dad tried to make peas, but couldn't find the can. He kept asking me where the peas were, and I was like, I don't know, man, I'm five. Also, this is your house. Eventually, everyone started leaving. But nobody came back. Oh. My favorite food was the turkey. I gobbled it up. I actually ate way more than I should have. But hey, that's what you get when you're left unsupervised for several hours. The whole meal was already out on the table and nobody was eating, so I went ahead and helped myself. I ate the portion of three fully grown men and then passed out from a food coma under the table. Everyone thought I was dead. Ha ha, how funny. But I wasn't, obviously. In fact, the escaped mental patient came into the dining room and just sort of stared at me very closely. One thing I'm grateful for, not being killed. My favorite memory was when I took a nice solitary walk down the highway to the gas station. Finally, I could get away from all the noise and the screaming and the cloying grip of Jennifer. I got all the way to the gas station when a pair of cops picked me up and took me back to the ranch house. By the time we got there, it seemed like everyone was dead. Everyone except Jennifer, who I guess is my mom now. Also when my brother did close-up magic. In conclusion, I learned that some serial killers don't kill children, and also not to do PCP. The end.
Hey, does Video High have a relationship with Child Protective Services yet?
Should we open that? At this point, we probably should.
It's 7 a.m. in Los Angeles, and our top story continues to be the intensive police dragnet for an armed and dangerous escaped mental patient. 26-year-old Jay Jones escaped from the Hobart State Hospital for the criminally insane last night after killing an attendant and leaving a guard in critical condition.
He's extremely dangerous, probably armed. He could be on PCP. Jones is Caucasian, 6'3", 220 pounds, with curly brown hair. If you see anyone answering this description, stay clear of him and notify your local law enforcement agency.
Gobble, gobble, classmates. It's our third annual Video High Thanksgiving dinner, sans any dinner. We already heard Angel's introduction of how she looked forward to spending her Thanksgiving. Let's do the roll call to hear everyone else's, or whatever you want to say. Greg Hansen.
All right, everybody. Let's relax and do a little mindfulness exercise, right? Imagine you're shooting a horror film. You're the director.
Ooh.
Now, there's a killer on the loose, and the main characters are searching for him. I'd like you to close your eyes. Now, what you see is how we will shoot it.
Casey Regan.
I'm super happy. Chloe, I'm so glad to be doing this again. So, you know, it's what this movie was about. It's about chosen family.
Yeah.
And it's a movie that takes the bold position that sometimes murder is fine.
Josh Roth?
At first I thought, why is everyone in this movie splitting up? And then the more I thought about it, yeah, death was the better option than dinner with the Bradleys.
I'm Jamie Kennedy here to say, deeply problematic historical figure Henry Ford once said, the only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. And if that doesn't sum up this movie, I don't know what will. But hey, so few people come back on this podcast for even a second time. So this is a real treat that someone came back not just for seconds, but for thirds as well. And that someone is dear adopted classmate, Chloe McGalchy. Hello.
Yay!
Welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm genuinely pleased that there is a third Thanksgiving slasher movie for me to be a part of or to talk about.
Greg, we got to be running out of these, right?
I know. That well yeah. has to dry at some point, and I'm really fearful for that day. But in the meantime, going on Thanksgiving movie number three is the ultimate joy. Ask Jamie and Josh. I badger them all the time. Like, fall rolls around, and I'm just knock, 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 and like, hey, are you doing a Thanksgiving video? Hi, we need somebody. Am I grandfathered into this one? I should not use that term anymore. It actually has really problematic origins.
Would it be go down easier if we called it being peapod in?
Getting no-no'd.
It is interesting that this movie physically does take place on Thanksgiving and yet feels less of a Thanksgiving
yes!
movie than Blood Freak, which does not take place on Thanksgiving.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I can't believe they didn't just eat the turkey. Like, they had the whole place setting out, and at no point were they just like, we should probably just
My
eat
dude,
this.
Dude, they do eat.
They do. When?
Well, they start eating and then they leave.
Oh, because, I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, no, they start eating, but then it gets interrupted.
There were election results last night, so, you know.
This movie is what happens when you deprioritize the bird on Turkey Day. When you start focusing off the meal. I'm talking to you, Aunt Jan. I don't care that Cousin Kevin has a new sort of MLM he wants to pitch us. No. Will the leg be dry? That's all any of us should be caring about. Oh, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. I don't want to have political conversation to your family. Don't talk to them. Eat the dinner. That's why Angel, and you know what? I do feel a little weird that I got this drunk and we're in front of a kid. But I didn't know you were going to be here, so I'm sorry, honey, for how intense I'm being. But this is why you're fucking number one, Angel. It's because
she saw
you
so many murders. I think she's fine.
But also, it didn't let it distract her from almond those nom noms. Yeah. Getting handfuls of turkey meat in
Nor
her face.
Nor peeing.
No.
Girl needs to pee girl. What girl needs to pee.
Well, likely because
Greg, she's right here.
Do I keep slipping back?
You can. Oh, yeah. This is very
I ate so much salty food that it was painful for me to pee, and I learned later that I was developing a pretty nasty gallstone.
Wow, at your age.
Wow.
So your diet must be so awful.
She really had a rough day.
Here's the thing, you guys. I'm not sure who's raising me at any given moment.
That was a concern of mine, too, yeah.
My brother's a fucking mime magician. He's the only person who loves me.
Can you ever tell if a mime is really hugging you? Or just miming a hug? Can you ever trust the hug of a mime?
We're going to go off on this tangent at some point, but like, I really did have to travel down the wormhole of this actor.
Oh, of mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I got a little mistake horny as well.
Well,
how?
Well, not horny, but like curious, mistake curious. I don't know. I don't want to jump the gun here. Curious.
How the hell are any of these people related? Have we figured out a family tree? So,
yes, based on IMDb.
Oh, well, yeah, but I don't know if we can trust IMDb because also
they list everyone as the Bradleys, but I think only Bradley is Bradley, unless he's Bradley Bradley name. Like Mario.
No, his name is Harold Bradley. I think Scott just refers to him as Bradley because
he's an asshole.
I did have to go back a second time. Like, I looked at the credits, looked at IMDb, saw that he was Harold Bradley, then went back to that scene. And you're right, he only refers to him as Bradley.
On the road up.
It's just confusing because he has a last name that's a first name.
Yeah. So Harold Bradley's the patriarch. Then there's his girlfriend.
Yeah, Casey, he's doing this despite you.
I am doing this despite you.
We have to go over every character name, Casey.
I feel like actually this one's important because without making it the point of the movie, this collection of people is a hilarious Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes.
This
truly
is like a very funny group of friends and acquaintances to get together. And that's not the point of the movie, and it's not even like, honey, this is a work trip. It sort of never means anything, and I love
yes.
I love it. There's not like a comment. Like, it could have been a family. Like, it could have
been. It
could
have been a straight up family, but we had to complicate things so much.
They spend a lot of time giving us the same amount of time for exposition, but a lack thereof. Like, anything they introduce to us makes no sense.
And doesn't come back,
but it's so much time establishing this group of people, just letting them kind of like ad lib, and then we're all just kind of like conjecturing as to who they are and how they're related by any means. But that's like a third of the movie, and yet we have no idea by the end of this
who's Gail.
Where does Gail fit into any of this?
She literally introduces herself.
I know.
She literally goes, "Hi, I'm Gail."
To camera.
That's full characterization. Gail.
For the LA contingent, where do we think they are?
I think they're up on cold water. What's the cold water?
Yeah, I was gonna say
Rancho Cucamonga?
What does cold water connect to?
Mulholland? I think that's too nice. I think they're like the Malibu County.
Yo, as the editor, we need to stop this.
We digress. I'm so sorry.
Linda is the girlfriend of Harold. There is Harold's son, Mistake.
Yep.
Harold's daughter, Angel. Wayne and his girlfriend, Maria. Not sure how they're related to anyone.
Friend,
possible business. Pals.
Yeah, business partner.
Yeah, there could be business one day. Who knows?
It's three family members and then their tenant and his girlfriend, a business partner and his girlfriend, and then Harold's girlfriend.
Over for Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah. I mean, again, family is what you choose.
These people are lonely.
Yeah.
They are horny as hell and lonely as hell.
They are horny as hell.
It felt very right what you know. Like, it felt very like.
I don't know if this movie is right anything, to be honest.
That's the thing. It sort of just is, right? It's sort of just like, all right, this guy will play a producer, a shoddy producer having sex whenever he can.
Yeah, and his two bastard children.
And his person he rents a room to who's having sex whenever he can.
Well, and you know that the actor who plays Harold is the producer.
Wait, really?
Harold is the producer, Don Edmonds, who also was the director of Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS, and later co-produced True Romance.
Wow. Wow!
There you go.
Moved up in the world.
Okay, so who's Angel?
Angel is Allison from Hocus Pocus.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
She
went up to have good yavos.
And Nicole, the sexy ex-girlfriend from 40 Days and 40 Nights who taught me that women rape too.
What a strange takeaway from that movie. But you're not wrong. That is a
literally rapes him at the end. Literally, he's unconscious and she's
40 days and
you don't remember 40 days and 40 nights? All right, Josh Hartnett, he can't bust a nut for 40 days and 40 nights. People are taking bets on it
for Lent.
It's a Lent movie.
Yeah, it's a Lent movie. Yeah. It's a rare movie.
What about that?
Wait,
think about that.
Movies?
Before you got a Hanukkah movie, we got a Hollywood Lent movie.
It's Lent movie.
It's Midnight Mass and it's 40 days and 40 nights. That's yeah. the Lent representation we have list. In the world.
And Jamie, we know which one you prefer.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Currently broadcast center in sports.
Hey, you want a beer?
Hey! This movie comes out of the gate very strong in that the first person we see looks us in the in the camera, says, "Want a beer?" and then is pulled out of his car and murdered.
It's like one of those roller coasters that boasts itself for going like 0 to 60 miles an hour in 2 seconds flat, right?
This is a launch coaster of a film.
You don't have to climb. You don't have to wait. Nothing. No. But the roller coaster
but, like a
begins.
Launch coaster. It never reaches that height of thrill ever again.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Greg, you somehow found a movie with less plot than The Jar.
Well, wait, what? Yeah, the jar has so much plot. Comparing it to The Jar is silly. This has less plot than most things because it's literally just put a bunch of people in a house and they die. That's it.
Yeah. Greg, they don't die in the house because, like, what is baffling to me is that 70% of this movie is character leaves to go do something and gets murdered out in the world and no one is curious about it. No one finds a body and then is like, oh my god, there's a... No one realizes there's a killer on the loose until there are 3 people left.
58 minutes into the movie. I checked.
Y'all need to watch more slasher movies if you're not used to that. There's many... Everybody's fucking going around taking showers and shit.
Why does it feel different?
Like, because it's boring, yo.
I said this because I was thinking back on Halloween and how like
because it has no atmosphere.
I was thinking back on Halloween and how Halloween has the same kind of like, you know, like where people go off to their own separate corners, they're killed, no one discovers them. So like to Jamie Lee Curtis, nothing is going wrong until the last 15 minutes of the movie. I get it. That's the same thing as this. But that does it so much better and tense. Tension
wow.
Building.
It's all, yeah. You I know, it's almost, so it's almost like.
Okay, I think you're right. The missing key is atmosphere because there is no atmosphere because everything's black.
Yeah.
You're like one of those quote unquote people off the street on like a Gordon Ramsay, I'm going to yell at your restaurant show. Who's like, yeah, actually, this seared salmon is way better. I don't know why. Why is this one shit? It's like, well, that one was made by Gordon Ramsay, wouldn't you believe it? Would you believe it? A really good chef made that one?
This movie is terrible, and I do love it. It's so singular in its stupidity. It's almost like a complete misunderstanding of what people want in a movie.
Yes, it's interesting. It's someone trying to make a slasher movie not understanding what makes a slasher movie good.
Mm-hmm. Not
no,
not
sort of not really understanding what makes a movie
good. Yes. We have whole characters who are on screen discussed as like, wow, that person is terrible at doing this thing. This person is very annoying. Let's give them a lot of screen time doing the terrible thing and being annoying.
Oh.
Jones was committed to Hobarth 8 years ago after a lengthy and well-publicized trial following the bludgeoning death of both of his parents.
We've already established there's like a random stranger offers another stranger a beer, gets pulled out by this hulking, like, Andre the Giant, the man, who...
More Lou Ferrigno, but yeah.
Oh, my God. I
definitely is a poor man's Lou Ferrigno.
The whole time, I kept trying to remind myself, it's not Lou Ferrigno. You know it's not Lou Ferrigno because you check the IMDb. And then every time he came back on screen, I'm like, hey, Lou Ferrigno!
Lou Ferrigno's... He's got better things to do in 1981.
But apparently Bodies by Jake doesn't.
No. Yeah.
Because that's who this is.
Bodies by Jake?
Body by Jake.
He's a trainer. Fitness. Oh, okay. A fitness trainer.
Fun little bit of IMDb trivia, too. He was in an episode of Amazing Stories where like a remote control brought TV to life as the Incredible Hulk.
What?
Because he looks so much like Lou Ferrigno.
What?
I do want to point out, so there's this Lou Ferrigno stand-in, and I think I was already primed to, like, hear the radio because of Blood Freak, where it's an escaped mental institution inmate, and I'm like, great, okay, I know what to expect. We know nothing about him except that he's escaped an asylum. Mm-hmm. He's
on PCP.
Which I thought that would come back in some way, and it doesn't. And I also, maybe I'm just a prude, I did not know you inject PCP sublingually. But then again, like,
I think it can be different.
You don't have to. No. That's not a thing that, like, is a necessity.
No, Chloe, I think you can do it in any language.
Sublingually. Well done. No, I paused the movie and then I immediately went on Google being like, PCP injection undertongue. It didn't really come up with much, but I did learn a lot about ketamine in the process, which is like the new PCP.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He also has a tattoo on his hand.
Yes.
That says Home Sweet Home.
The title.
It means nothing. I love it.
It never comes back.
It means nothing. Tattoo's generous. It looks like it was stamped at a club.
And then, like, all right, and you then want a re-entry?
Yeah. And then just kind of like washed off a little bit in the bathroom. And I was like, ooh, really clever. And then we get the title card.
Well, before we get the title card, he races. It's the best part of the movie.
I can't believe I skipped over it.
It's the best part of the movie. He steals the guy's car for a joyride to some very ripoff strings and then runs over an old lady in the crosswalk. And there is a beautiful post-zoom, or not even zoom,
I
like
will
multiple
never
step.
Edit something as well as this was edited.
No one will.
It's the reverse of his face being like, and then the lady, then his face being like, I'm gonna do it. And then he does it.
And then they cut to hit the reverse of him in the car laughing maniacally with a blood-soaked windshield and the title, Home Sweet Home, and then the movie peaks right there.
It is such an exciting story, like a story of seconds told so elegantly.
Yes.
Really made a story out of accidentally hitting a lady with your car.
Accidentally?
Oh,
no, 100% intentional.
He sped up. He had a moment of reasoning.
I guess I should say it wasn't premeditated.
No.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it was spur of the moment.
He ran into the old lady and was like, this is awesome.
Literally ran into her.
Yeah.
And so pre-title card, I'm like, this guy is an opportunist. He's killing everything and everybody, and he's doing it quickly. And
his name is Jay Jones. That doesn't matter.
And then, like, the tone and the murders and the excitement and the pace in which he kills completely changes.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, at the beginning, I was really hoping for 101 kills on the 101. We ended up more like the 5 on the 5.
Yeah, but also, I do want to point out, just
he
as
took
like,
surface streets.
Just
come
as
on
the
now.
Angelino, like, there's a very long scene of him driving, and it is, like, the most open I've ever seen the 101 during the day. I don't know what happened
it's
that
Thanksgiving.
Day.
I mean,
that is, you know
on
what?
Thanksgiving
the 101
day,
does look
I
like
guess.
That around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's fair. The day before, though, it's hell on wheels.
So now we cut to a family you will wish death on very soon. And good news, everyone. Yeah. You gotta hand it to this movie. For all of its shortcomings, Mistake is like the best character name I've ever heard for someone in fiction. I'm shocked no one else has done this on a more high profile piece, because it tells you everything you need to know right off the bat. Built-in
and
character development.
And his sister is Angel.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Gold.
Done.
Absolute gold.
Yeah.
Mistake is like a name for a character in like a William Faulkner novel or like a J.C. Lex movie or something. Like,
and this is like a William Faulkner family.
Boy, is it.
So how do we describe Mistake?
He looks like a member of KISS, but super skinny.
And this is maybe where I should jump in. Because here I was thinking, like, okay, the makeup is probably KISS motivated because he has the electric guitar. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case.
No?
Because I looked up, I will get this sound in because
ooh.
I don't know.
Sound Foley.
So the actor who plays Mistake is Peter DePaola, who has 3 lonely credits on IMDb. Aww. This was his
we don't know how lonely they are. That's don't assume.
Don't assume. I know. They could be happily
Asexual credits.
Or a thruple. We don't know.
Or a thruple, yeah. So Home Sweet Home was his last movie. Prior to that, he was a magician on the Mike Douglas Show and a mime and magician on an episode of Wonder Woman. And all three, he has this white mime makeup. I think that's just his shtick. I think that's just how he rolls.
It's like if they cast Teller in this movie, but he wasn't Teller. He was a character, but he still wasn't talking the whole time. And you're like, what's the deal with that character?
It's also interesting because Don Edmonds, the producer, and Harold Bradley had just come off a movie called Terror on Tour, which was a slasher movie of a Kiss-like band called The Clowns in makeup doing a slasher movie. So there's like also a part of me that feels like Don Edmonds, maybe either maybe he helped cast him because of that, like because of the crossover, or thinking that there might be some crossover potential in there. Or he just thinks all fucking rock and roll dudes just wear makeup all the time. Who knows?
Honestly, D, all of the above.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. My lucky day. Two for the price of one.
I've got you now.
Scott.
You.
Will you get the hell out of here? Mistake. This is your last time.
Uh-oh, I think a complication is developing. You get a rain check.
Though I thought Mistake was an assault on the senses. Like, a character so annoying, it made me hate the electric guitar.
Yeah.
An instrument I've truly spent every day of my life listening to. Like, as old as I can remember choosing my own music, I chose music with electric guitar in it. And this movie was like, I'm done. That's enough. That's a bad sound.
There's a moment later on where I literally said out loud, oh, good, he's doing close-up magic now.
That's a cursed thought. That's a terrible... If you're having that thought about anybody, in a dark, you know, dark headspace.
You know a character is so bad when your moment of respite is close-up magic.
They've started doing magic. Thank goodness. But at the same time, I found myself like... drawn. I needed to know more
about
Pete because I googled the name and saw that there were Google images in my makeup seemingly in other things.
Yes.
That's
this
crazy.
Was like his brand. I love that. I love that some guy was like, I want to be like 80s hair metal Marcel Marceau. That's like a cool niche to try
with
to
shoes on or not
carve out.
Nice.
Hard to.
Not really. That's not nice.
Marceau with shoes on. That's pretty good.
There's something there.
Fake
that's
poster.
At least that's a band name, definitely.
It is upsetting because in the same way that like my favorite parts of Godfrey Ho movies is the reshot nonsense that is at the beginning, the end, and sprinkled through the middle. Of course, my favorite bits of this are Body by Jake. Literally, I mean, I love movies where it assumes that off-frame is some netherworld or some alternate dimension for which somebody could just be waiting to literally pounce on characters.
Yeah. That is true. I forgot how many of his murders were like truly gotcha. Yeah.
Almost
just
all
like,
of them.
They're gotcha. They're almost exclusively gotcha.
Yeah, he's jumping off ladders out of frame.
Hell in the Cell is currently happening just off screen.
It's like, honestly, I would watch Punked if it was just Bodies by Jake. Where it's just
jumping
him.
Out of people.
Yeah, the
with
way that like people will do
laugh.
like jumping out of bushes kind of cam, except it's him like body slamming someone while they're like looking under the hood.
But it's more like he's hiding in a tree off screen. Like he has distance.
But he is.
Yeah, that's true.
At a certain point, Mistake like aged into the bouquet of the fine wine that it was, right? Because it's like these people are I'm not getting close to them. I'm not giving a shit about them. I'm not like hoping they don't die.
Yeah.
In fact, quite quite the opposite. I'm hoping that that our big palooka is going to just fall out of the attic on top of them at any point in this movie, right? And they're all, it's sort of this very specific, very like generally satirical, like LA group of people, the like failing producer, the like sex obsessed hot young girlfriend, like, you know, a young sort of, I just moved to LA, I need a place to crash sort of thing. And then also this like young fail son performance artist who is the worst of them all. And
I can't believe there are two guitars at this Thanksgiving dinner, by the way.
Yeah, oh my God. That's not even to mention the fucking Yoko Ono of Central America who joins us. Fucking Honduran Yoko Ono, who's just there to like caterwaul and fucking bang an acoustic guitar like El Kabong.
That's such a wild characterization. Simply,
so wild.
Simply because the director and editor of the movie is Nettie Pena, who ostensibly, if it's the same Nettie Pena that exists on the internet, is like...
And how could it not be?
Is, sure, sure. But the reason I said, the reason I raised the question is because she, in the late 70s, early 80s, she edits Dracula Sucks and then edits and directs Home Sweet Home. And then she becomes like a documentary filmmaker and is like a Latinx visual artist of repute. So it's just, there's like,
wow,
there's like a very different trajectory that happens for her seemingly after what I can only imagine is the runaway success of Home Sweet Home.
This is a career maker. This is a career maker film. I do think that whether it's in spite of itself or not, like, there is something successfully enjoyable about the confluence of suck in this movie. Like, the way that the sucky air patterns are interacting, whether or not that's on purpose. Like, the fact that this family that we're about to spend quote-unquote home sweet home Thanksgiving dinner with, which is like a Hollywood fucking fuck party with a failed record producer that, like, children have been forced into. And so you don't, like... feel that, you know, it feels like Home Sweet Home Thanksgiving movie. It should be such a like paint by numbers, like there's a family Thanksgiving dinner and there's, you know, all those characters are interacting and maybe there's someone inside or outside the house like killing people, and that is what happens, but just in this very specific like sort of skewering dirty LA sort of way, so that you don't really give a shit about these people dying. At the same time, the killer isn't based on anything that has to do with these people. He literally just he's cleaning old lady off his car and he happens upon his victims. And it's like the family that is so annoying, their sort of totem is a literal electric guitar playing mime. A loud mime. Like not like
not a silent mime.
Yeah, annoying made into an oxymoron, right? A loud mime. That's how little you're supposed to actually give a shit about them. I the whole time was like, this guy rules. This murderer, this serial killer. I was super down with, I don't know, I guess the joie de vivre of the characterless killer who is coming to like eliminate annoying people from the movie. Who's literally coming to command Z mistakes out of the movie.
No, truly, I think everybody here right now agrees that the hero of this movie is the killer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Hearing, Casey, your summation of the various parts of this movie, in a way, this feels like something that, like, if Godard had been given a slasher script in the 80s, it would have been like this.
Yes.
I think so. I think there is like a level of anti-cinema to this. Like the fact that the movie just opens with a guy to camera going, "Want a beer?" And then the killer pulls him out and kills him. And that's second three of the movie. Yeah.
Godard like, or Tati? Like.
Well, there is something like anti-cinematic about that. Now, whether or not it's like a purposeful artistic choice or a crazy person who doesn't understand how movies work. That's actually better. I hope it's the latter. I hope it's not.
You make a really great point because there's like layers to the anti-cinema. Because there's the fact that I think we shoot in practical light only.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's
Barry Lyndon could never.
Barry Lyndon could never. Nary a bulb in this movie.
NASA lenses? Yeah. Who needs
Fuck
them?
It.
There was a point where, like, the most effective decision the killer ever makes is the, like, third time he cuts the power. I'm like, stop it. I want to see the movie. Stop cutting the power, please. Yeah.
No.
Towards the end, Linda goes, maybe I should put some more logs on the fire. We can stand to have a little bit more light. And I was like, says the director to the DP.
No, truly, when we get to the end and it's a new day, I'm like, oh, thank God. And there's still like a little bit more murder. And I'm like, oh, we can see it. So there's that. And then there's also this moment where Linda and her friend go off to get wine, and they like they go into the car and they start talking, and it is like unbelievable crosstalk. It's like two yes! people's ADR, and they're like, let's just slap one on top of the other.
Don't blame me. Oh gosh,
I could use a Valium. Is this Gus car?
Ooh,
hey. Well, especially when they're both saying the same thing, but like half a second apart. They're like, yeah. We should get some wine. Oh, we should get wine.
Oh, you want some wine?
Let's wine, wine.
Yeah. It's like they went to an improv school that like emphasized middle sentence execution. it's like we do improv in the round. We like to start your line halfway through someone else's. Yeah.
The music is wackadoodle.
Yes. Oh my god, the music. Let's just talk about the music.
Yeah,
crazy.
This is a great way in. It's nuts. It's like a universal monster. It's like
it's a character.
At points itself. At the end of the movie, it's fucking Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
We need to talk
literal,
about it now.
Like, boing.
Okay. There's a vibraslap. There's a slide whistle.
That yeah. thing says
there's
horror.
There's also
like your third grade of music class's chest of musical instruments.
Dude. Yes. No. Yeah. There's a moment where it's like down pitched jaw strings where it's like. Meh.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's like...
Yeah, the palm-muted cello version of somebody trying to rip off the Jaws theme awesome.
But then there's one moment where we actually get like really good cinematic music. There's like kind of like a fun spooky oboe. Spooky oboe overture. And it happens when Scott's just looking around the house and I'm watching it being like, okay, the music is cueing me for a murder that's about to happen, and it doesn't happen. The best score of music happens when somebody's just wandering.
Yeah, at the very beginning of the movie, after murder one, before murder two, while we're getting the credits, the music is going ham.
And what's happening on screen, Greg?
Over Body by Jake just driving on the highway. The music is so big. And I was like, this music is doing so much heavy lifting, and we have a literal bodybuilder on screen right now.
Never has the drive through Calabasas been rendered so suspensefully. Thrill and chill as traffic moves at a moderate pace.
You won't believe the merging between lanes, viewer.
Maybe it's just having the good sense enough to fill your boring moments with music. to be like some info, whether for the ears or eyes, is the same to the audience.
Because it's rare that it's both, to be honest.
But it's like, is that a question of like, is that juxtaposition on purpose? I mean, I suppose it could just come from a library track and this is why. Yeah.
I mean, should we just get, like, right into the killing?
I mean, at this
really
point.
I mean, really, all that you miss by not getting into the killing is two separate couples of our family go try to get to Bone Town and are both interrupted by mistake.
And cross-cut between.
Scott and Jennifer are trying to fuck in the driveway.
Yeah.
And are the homeowner, who all we know is he's a failed record producer and he's got a son who's a real handful. He starts fucking someone in a room. Mistake, perfectly well and good for him to interrupt Scott and Jennifer. Frankly, you know, Mistake's annoying, but like, it's Thanksgiving and you're about to fucking get some sloppy top like in my driveway. Like,
I believe it's called stuffing, Casey.
And then he goes and interrupts his dad.
That's
going
the weird
to
part.
Bone
yeah.
Town.
Yeah. That's the weird part. Weird. Like I can forgive mistake flirting with Wayne's girl. Get that. They're not related. I can forgive mistake creeping on the tenant and his girlfriend. That makes sense. He's, you know, a horny kid. But interrupting his dad's coitus is some other
dad's
level.
Coitus.
It's almost dark, and we got enough gas in the generator to last about 3 or 4 hours. I think I'm going to take a run on up to the gas station to get something before it closes. I should be back for the girls. Huh?
The first of the A murders, right? is a top tier kill.
It's beautiful.
Is a like film history top tier kill.
It's an all-timer.
As far as
I'm
concerned.
It is an all-timer.
All-timer, definitely.
Yeah, so Jay switches off the power of the house. Bradley or Harold goes out to check on it and then gets sidetracked by finding the car that the killer drove up in. And he's like, I'm going to take this battery out of this car.
Well, and he siphoned the gas, too. Like,
yeah, he's a real piece of shit.
It's hard out here. Yeah, I'm going to fill in a little bit of blanks here, which
yes,
is that the killer turns the power off, which, like, no one thinks to just check the power.
Not even close. They're like, we have a generator.
Breaker,
we're fine.
Breaker. Yeah, he just, like, flips the breaker switches off. And I'm like, okay, we're doing everything. But he says there's a generator, doesn't think there's enough gas for the rest of the night, so leaves to go get gas for the generator.
Okay.
Yeah.
I missed that.
And Jake's car is sitting there blocking the way, and he's like, well, I need gas. This car maybe's got gas. I'm gonna take his gas. And he's like,
so
oh shit,
wild.
Also, I guess I'll take his battery as well.
Yeah, everyone's car malfunctions.
That is like such a series of crazy decisions.
Yeah.
To make in a movie that isn't in the post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
Like, it's like not...
This guy
this
left
isn't
his car
the wasteland.
Near my
we
driveway.
We also don't
steal
know
this
that.
I'm gonna steal it.
I guess that's not true.
But
we know there's still mental institutions to break out of.
And liquor stores.
Also the basics of he has no power tools or no tools period while he's trying to attempt this. As somebody,
he's just doing it with his hands.
Yeah,
you know he's on hard times when he goes from like record producer to this.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. The one thing we know about him is he's ruined. The one thing we know about him is, I suppose.
So while he's trying to dismantle a car's battery with his bare hands.
Oh, this is
so good.
Our killer leaps out of, I don't know, a tree onto the hood.
Pile driver into the hood. Yes.
No. Yeah. He motherfucking swanton bombs.
Yeah. That is the people's elbow, people. That is the people's elbow.
It's crushing Harold in the hood of the car.
And we've been watching Jake watch him
like the shark from like Jaws.
Yeah, and like we get close-ups on his face, and he's like, we know he's gonna kill him.
That's why I'd say not like Jaws, because this movie spent so much time on Jake's face, just being like, oh boy, I can't wait to kill, or like, oh no, am I not gonna get to kill this person? Like, we get to see so much doubt play in Jake's face that frankly I wish we saw in Jaws. I wish we like cut to the shark's face sometimes, and the shark was like, oh boy, should I eat this person? I don't know.
It's just like deep.
Jake is a little bit more like Jowls. Yeah. But we have all of these moments where he's looking at him and he's like, I'ma kill ya. I'ma kill ya. We know he has a knife. We know he's want to do all.
We keep getting shots of his hunting knife.
Yes.
They keep playing it like he's gonna get hunting knifed. Oh, it would have been so. Y'all, this movie's a masterpiece. this is incredible. Well, such a good switcheroo.
Yeah, and so the fact that he literally from the top rope.
Yeah.
Jettisons into screen, crushing our patriarch under the hood of the car is actually like a moment of pure cinema in a way that I didn't know could exist.
So great.
Daddy needs a new pair of shoes and settle for a battery.
Great great horror movies introduce to you a new thing to be scared of, this movie, I think, makes cinematic history because never once did I think my life is fully in danger if I lean half my body into the hood of my car. Now I have to do a 360 scan to make sure that there's no high vantage point.
Oh, gotta look up.
Yeah, make sure there's...
Make sure Matt or Jeff Hardy are nowhere to be seen. Yeah. And then speaking of professional wrestlers, we cut back to NCW era Sting. entertaining a young girl.
Oh my God.
And the movie stops dead in its tracks for close-up magic.
But also a like odd moment of human charm.
Moment, yeah. Like, all we've seen is seen people rag on Mistake.
Well earned. Mistake is Mistake's then, a real piece of shit. Sure.
Like you hear the music swelling, and he's just having this quiet moment with his probably half sister. Let's be real here. Where he's doing close up magic, and she's like, "I love you," a word he has heard from no one else in this world.
It's very much the like Frankenstein's monster giving the flower to the little girl kind of scenario.
You're like, both of these characters are definitely going to survive this movie.
And frankly, any time with the guitar out of his hands, I count it as a win.
barely, though, because he's so quietly being like, there's one, now there's two. Now it's gone. Now there's three.
He's doing like ASMR magic.
And I'm like, what a sweet, quiet moment. And then he's like, you want to hear some mean licks? And then I'm like, oh, fuck, and we're back.
He had to ruin it, right?
He had to ruin the moment.
This movie is wild because it vacillates really hard between having these moments of genuinely excellent character line writing and absolute nonsense ad-libbing, neither of which is pulled off by the actors.
Yeah, no.
There are some heavy hitters in this script that are just breezed by. Like,
My mother was no good.
Yes. Women are no good, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, wait, that we have to get that's to... That is not one of these.
We have to get
that's,
to that kill.
That's not
that's
one of these.
That's one to wait for, yeah.
But the lithe boredom of Mistake saying rock and roll forever is is a particularly memorable moment. Gail's introduction when they're like, can we just kill Mistake? And she says, maybe I can slip some arsenic into his soup.
Into his soup.
Hi, I'm Gail. Like that.
Wildly specific, Gail. Wildly specific.
Love Gail.
She
love
hasn't
Gail
thought about
so much.
This at all.
Yeah.
Also, when he breaks into Wayne, the possible business friend, and Maria kissing.
And he goes like,
that's the woman I love. And Wayne throws an empty beer can at him. And someone says, do you want something a little stronger? And he says, yeah, a 357 Magnum.
Yeah, that's a great line. So bored in delivery.
So bored. So bored.
I would love to see a table read of this movie.
Oh, my God.
Josh, you did. They read it like a table. They read it like a table read.
And then there's a lot of nonsense, like moments of Gail and Linda in the car just shattering on about how cute the cops were and how that they'd like to be picked up again. Or and it was so strange before that the phones were out that we, the audience, have never seen, have no
context
for.
How would we know?
For.
Why would we care? Because at this point, Harold has gone off to get more gas for the generator and been smooshed.
I believe squashed, but yes.
Yeah, and Linda...
It's more Thanksgiving-y if you say
it's squashed. It's squashed, yeah. It's definitely more squashed. Linda and Gail go off to get wine because they've forgotten wine.
This is the most ill-prepared Thanksgiving dinner ever, honestly.
And then they get terribly lost.
Oh, so lost. So before the second kill, we do have a great little moment that I liked where...
This is after Wayne goes off, right, to go look for them? Or,
yes, Wayne leaves.
Remember Wayne?
Don't forget.
Who forget Wayne.
You're perfectly welcome to
that. Yeah, but he also, put a lot of money on the quarterbacks.
Constantly needing something stronger. Cannot be in a room without electricity. Put a lot of money on a football game he'll never be able to watch.
Right. Brought this hot young woman who he cannot communicate with. So, anyway.
question mark. Bless her heart, is trying. Yeah. Like, that, like, of everyone there, Jennifer is the only one, like, attempting to speak Spanish to Maria. Yeah.
I think everyone besides Wayne is being super sweet to, like, cool to Maria. Maria, like, they have just been like, and also there's this lady here. She doesn't really speak English. Hey,
but
welcome.
She does sing. She does sing. We wish that wasn't happening as much. But
meanwhile, Wayne's like, my piece of shit girlfriend. Don't encourage her.
Everyone goes their separate ways to canoodle, and we see Angel holding a knife over the dining room table. What does it mean?
The side eye she gives to the camera is fantastic.
It's so good. And then Scott runs into the kitchen, finds the turkey cut to bits, and they're like, oh, is Angel dead? Is Angel dead? And I'm like, ooh, this movie might have killed a kid. But no, she's fine. She's under the kitchen table, just nomming on some turkey.
Rightfully so.
It was a good trick.
I liked that. If you're not going to feed your child, like, come on.
They better feed
themselves.
Also,
before that scene, they kept saying, like, and check on Angel. She's been put to bed. Check on Angel. Someone should check on Angel. It's like, you haven't had Thanksgiving dinner yet.
Yeah, I know.
Also,
go to bed, kid. Dinner's a little late. Go to bed.
Yeah, you've been waiting all day. You've been sitting in the kitchen watching people prepare this meal. Fuck off.
To be fair, the company that she's forced to be with is so fucking boring. I think I would choose bed over dinner with them. Have a Scott and Jennifer's conversations, and they're supposed to be happy. Is them being like, this is going to be a great weekend. They keep returning back to that fucking well, because they're just like, this is going to be so great.
Right. Yeah, you have to say it enough to yourself so you start to believe it, really.
Everyone is left, save Mistake, Maria, Scott, Jennifer, and Angel is somewhere either gorging or sleeping. Jennifer and Scott go off to finally have sex, and there's this long tracking shot, like, down the house as they're walking. And they filled it with so much ADR. Wow, you look beautiful tonight. I don't feel beautiful, but thank you very much for saying that. It was, what are you talking about? You're an absolute knockout. Thank you so much. Ha ha, I hope Wayne's okay. Like, it's just like so.
The point when Wayne goes, I'm going to go, like, look for all these missing people.
Yes!
Do you want to come? And Scott goes, nah, somebody's got to stay with the women. Which is just really a fucking G move to be like, we're going to be hooking up. Yeah. I think is wrong with anybody, and I would just like to have
Bone
some sexy
town,
time.
Please.
Yeah, which is weird because he could have done it in the car instead of chase Mistake for 45 minutes, but
yes.
The best thing is when they've gone up to Scott's apartment and they have done it, presumably, and she goes, shouldn't we go downstairs and check on everybody? And he just goes, no. Like, I was like, fucking Scott.
There's also a great moment when Wayne leaves where Mistake comes in and says, hey everyone, now that the redneck is gone and the other two assholes haven't come back yet, we can have a party. To which Maria goes, a fiesta.
And then somebody's like, let's get some drinks. And it's like, margarita?
Yeah.
When Wayne and Maria are introduced, someone offers Maria a drink and Wayne answers for her, something to the effect of, no, she doesn't drink. She doesn't like going to the bathroom. So weird.
Wait.
No, there's absolute bathroom gatekeeping throughout this whole movie.
That's a theme.
Yeah. Who gets to piss and when is there's some hidden meeting.
Yeah.
So the second kill, Jay jumps Gail and Linda.
Doesn't Wayne die first?
Yeah, but who cares about Wayne?
Yeah,
fuck
he
it.
Just gets, he does it. He didn't strangled exist. In the car. He
I also love that
car.
You're using the proper
I think
pronoun
it's knifed,
of Jay.
But it doesn't really
matter. Yeah, I thought he got piano wired, sort of karate.
Choose
your own. Choose
you're
your
right,
own,
it
everybody.
It says strangles him in the back seat. Look at
or however
it says.
It
says. Josh just referred to his notes that he wrote. It says he got strangled.
Sacred text.
Well, there's Yeah, there's some really, there's a wonderful shot of like a hand creeping up and over the driver's seat. So we see the hand. We don't, I had to watch it several times because there's a hand. So it's clear that there's like an ominous figure in the back. And then something happens that's maybe strangulation.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not, because you see his head bob down. When it comes back up, there's blood on his neck.
That's right, yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like...
the knife?
I don't
know. Or piano wire.
Or piano wire. It's hard to say because it...
He got necked to death.
The problem with Wayne's death... The problem
he just dies.
The problem with Wayne's death is it's too stealthy for Jay. Everything we've, like, established up until this point, it should not have been that clean and stealthy. Like, there should have been way more...
Yeah, he's been a murderer of convenience this whole time.
Also, and
Wayne's is the ones he, like, hid in the car. I don't believe that. I don't believe that of our killer.
He's also super audible the whole time. He's always like... There are a few select moments where he like Wario's and just goes wah. So you're right. He's so quiet that I think part of me sort of missed that murder was happening.
Mm. Yeah.
Until I saw blood and I was like, wait, what?
Actually, now that you brought this up, noises like that play some part in this movie. We're about to talk about Linda's death and then Mistake's death. I felt like most connected to them because they essentially get killed because they are mouth breathers, which I am myself. And in a panic, stressful situation, I would be fucking trying to hide in a corner somewhere going like, and get found easily. But also when Scott and Jennifer finally get down, they're real kissers. Like, are y'all big? Do y'all really lean into an when you're kissing, when you're macking, do you throw an in there? Like, be honest.
I don't think so. I don't think there's much Foley work involved.
Chloe, Greg, do y'all throw an in there if you're? Because I don't. I don't throw.
I would describe myself as maybe too quiet.
You're the opposite of Jay.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like, you all right?
Do you know what I realized I did actually fairly recently? I don't throw ums in there, but I put some stank on the smack at the end of the kiss. I was in the midst of a mac and I felt like a smack at the end of a kiss. And even in my brain, I was like, that felt overdramatic.
Like when you finish drinking a glass of water and you're like...
Like the smack of the kiss. I was putting a lot of English on it, I noticed. And I did a little, in the midst of it, I did a little experiment where I was like, try to be as quiet as possible on this one. And I made no noise whatsoever. And I was like, you sneaky Pete. I knew you've been juicing your sounds, buddy. I had to really look at myself and be like, why are you doing this performance? But none of us are immers. None of us
no,
are.
No.
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 Yeah. I would say like maybe like an open mouth, like, but like that just kind of escapes, but no, but not a.
Not adding.
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly.
This is good radio.
Although
good radio.
Now, although now I think I'm going to try it.
Yeah, but
throw some
reports
in. Yeah,
in a few weeks.
Kill number three, Jay.
Wait, hold on. In a few weeks?
Yeah, I'm in a long distance relationship.
Oh, okay.
There was an actual reason. Oh,
I thought you were just Babe Ruth pointing to your next AI appearance.
Okay, I'm so sorry, Greg.
Back to the kill.
Kill number three. Gail and Linda pass Wayne's car. Jay jumps on them from afar, tossing Gail like a rag doll.
As is his way.
Onto a nearby rock.
Hi, I was Gail. Is as like as abruptly she exits the picture as she did enter
it. I was Gail.
It is unfortunate. The tape looks better than the YouTube.
I was gonna ask.
I was wondering that.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I don't remember it being like a lot better. but the YouTube is truly like 5 pixels black, and it's a shame because he full on jumps in and then gives her the old body slam situation, what? Which it feels, yeah, he full on suplexes her.
Damn.
I don't think I saw that.
I'm so mad I didn't see that.
He sort of DDTs her.
Yeah.
Linda almost sort of gets away, but then Jay stalks her through the
woods.
She
breathes through her mouth, man. She's too loud in the woods.
I think he stabs her. It's very hard to tell.
No, he beats her to death with the wine they had gotten. It was a semi-ironic
death.
Death
by wine? How?
So, yeah, it has to be said that there are a lot of deaths in this movie, many of which you can't see.
The fourth one is my favorite, Greg. The fourth one is where Mistake finally eats it.
Maria's dead.
Excuse you're right.
Excuse me.
And also, Mr. Notes. Technically, the fourth one, if we're just going off a cast, which wouldn't make it the fourth one, considering you're forgetting about old lady and want a beer guy. but the fourth death
of
our
title card, they don't count.
The fourth death of our A cast would be bludgeoned to death by wine Linda, yeah, because it goes Harold,
right,
Wayne, Gail, Linda.
Yep.
What you're doing is forgetting about Wayne, which is right. Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say. When it comes out motherfuckers act like they forgot about Wayne.
Mistake spills some cranberry sauce on Maria's shirt and then they end up in the bathroom. Maria finds a body in the shower.
For the
Whose
first
body
time.
Is that?
Wayne.
That was Linda bludgeoned with the wine.
No. It was Linda.
But finally, it was this point in the movie was when finally someone discovered a body and realized, oh my God, there's a killer on the loose. But then only for that person to be killed immediately thereafter.
And can't warn anyone else. Jay jumps her in the bathroom, holds a knife to her throat, Mistake finds them, and then tries to, like, plead with him. He offers him close-up magic.
Hey, yeah, we've gone 50 minutes at this point and the killer has just made noises.
Yeah,
and then
sure, he's only done laughing.
He's only laughed, he's only grunted, he's only wah. But then for the first, ostensibly second time, we hear him talk and I'm like, whoa, he can speak. And he says,
women are no good. Only cause you problems, man. My mother was no good like that.
Crazy. No, please.
Brutalizing women is the point,
yeah,
you see.
And then I was like what? And then all of a sudden I was like, ooh, some mommy issues. Let's get into it. And then it's dropped.
Yeah, no, it doesn't come back.
And then as you bring up, there's pleading by Mistake.
Amazing.
Being the order of operations is like, don't make a sound or I'll kill her. In my mind, I'm like, well, you're going to kill her.
Yeah.
All I know about Mistake is he's a sound maker.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so I'm like, well, this
which
this
is weird for
compute.
A mime. Which is weird for a mime, frankly.
And like, he has a blunt object. He has his guitar on him.
Yep.
But instead, just follows him. Yep. Just follows him. He's like, just, wait, hey,
like
don't do it.
Like a sad puppy.
Yeah,
just,
like,
hey, wait,
yeah,
Steppy.
Stop. No,
okay.
Take me instead.
It ought be said that he's pleading with our killer, offering him things that in the context of the movie, nobody wants.
No, but it's also all we've seen him do.
Please don't hurt her. Look, I'll do anything for you. Please take me instead. Don't hurt her, please. Look, I'll play my guitar for you. I'll sing, I'll do some magic, please, Hester.
None of the pleading works. Jay kills Maria. Mistake runs away.
Yeah, very unceremoniously.
Yeah, very
I didn't feel good. I didn't feel good about Maria's death.
No.
But in as much as Maria's death is disappointing, Mistake's death is satisfying. Because Jay catches him and shoves him into electricity? I don't know.
The circuit breaker that
no
one went to check.
No. Like, I got this, you guys. I got this.
Yeah.
There's a throwaway scene where the killer cuts the power line. Just cuts it. And I'm like, for what? Cuts it. And then later, it's so dark you can't tell.
Yeah.
There's that same dangling power line. He takes it, strangles him with the power line, but then it connects to the guitar, therefore also electrocuting him.
Okay, hey, that explains.
Hey,
that.
Greg.
Yeah.
You're a band boy. you're a rock and roller. So when he electrifies Mistake up against whatever he's doing up against the power cable, the guitar strings like light up, like a light with the and melt, and it feels like a very practical effect.
Yeah, no, I know. Feels like that's one of those moments where I was like, no wonder this was his last credit.
It was awesome. It was also the most light in that scene.
Yes.
It was great. It was great to finally have a light
and
in
you
the
know,
scene. Yeah,
like the jury's still out on whether or not that makeup was motivated by any means or if it's just
right.
the actor's
might have
choice
just been him on set.
But I will say it was like a really beautiful almost like Melies moment to have like a field of black and just this white face and
the
peril
skull
yeah
light.
Yeah, and then to see the guitar strings, like that was one part of the movie where I'm like, yeah, they did it.
Yeah.
They movied.
Exactly. It's one of those moments where you remember you're watching a movie. Yeah. That, like, movies involve cinematic choices.
Not just, like, low-grade Community Chekhov.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I've seen before.
Oh, no. Cherry Orchard?
No, The Seagull.
Ooh.
Ooh, so a real fun one.
Ambitious and also worse.
Jennifer! Oh, Jennifer, the kid's a psycho.
What else is there?
No, you don't understand. He's killed Maria.
Finally, everyone's on the same page. The three remaining people know there's a killer on the loose. They just don't know who that killer is.
Once they think it's a mistake and they find Maria's body and they're like, we gotta reassess the evening. There's a killer on the loose.
They make every wrong choice.
It's amazing.
Scott says at one point,
stay close to Angel. The kid can't take all three of us on at once.
Which means he was including the little girl, Angel, in the, like, fight off the murderer plan.
Yes.
Angel will need to throw hands in this scenario.
They all know that Angel can use a knife.
Yep.
In fact, my plan consists of Angel running at the murderer first.
He says, a rational plan. We gotta stick together. And then they proceed to find every excuse to not stick together possible.
Where so many
like,
reasons
I gotta
to
go
split
check
up,
the door.
Crop up so immediately.
I forgot to check that other door.
Yeah, no, it's first,
I
like,
have to go find candles. There's
go
no candles.
Go get the firewood.
We're also talking about the characters that are like, there is a killer running around. Let's talk about Jennifer's possible motherly instincts.
Oh, God. Okay, I felt so bad for Angel in the moment being like, this kid doesn't deserve this.
But also, like, she really cursed herself. Like, I guess I could be a mother. Well, you're adopting this
you're
child
adopting
at
this
the
child.
End of this. Good luck.
Then the killer comes into the house, and then they fucking leave her.
Yes.
Yeah, they abandon her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
run out on that kid.
And then at a certain point, Angel's like, we've got to go back. And Scott's like, fuck this child, we're leaving. Yeah. I was pretty mad about that, too. I'm like, okay, your motherly instincts kicked in. You commented on it, and now we're just leaving the child.
Yeah, so Jennifer stabs Jay in the back with a kitchen knife. Then they run outside. Scott runs back in. And here's kill number, I don't know.
No. Doesn't run back in. Is like outside.
Oh, yeah.
Jake,
you're right.
Jake breaks
through
the glass.
Through the window. And then pulls him inside, slitting his throat on the broken glass, which was rad.
Yeah, there's like a few kills in the middle of the movie where you're like, oh, they've like run out of ideas. Mm-hmm. And what you just have realized is that they've put those kills into like a 3-month bond.
Yeah.
We're just saving up for the end because from mistake onward we're back to complete full on radness.
I don't know, y'all. I think there's a the movie suffers its own production value, but Gail, a character who doesn't exist, being ejected from the movie is funny.
I'll give you that
Linda getting beat to death by the wine she for some reason had to go get is kind of...
I didn't know that's what happened.
That's what I'm saying. It suffers its production value.
Okay.
And then Maria being killed in a way that was like... just upsetting.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that there was sort of nothing.
Unceremonious as her character.
Mistake being like lit up like a Christmas tree. Genuinely running multiple volts past that actor. Like, that actor was in a deadly situation.
Presumably the final girl now is Jennifer. Jennifer runs up to the apartment and basically just hides there all night, which is the thing to do.
It is a wild thing because before she comes out of a hidey hole in the morning, the scene plays to me like she goes upstairs and at the sound of Jake coming near her, passes the fuck out.
Thanks. Oh, it was, I thought she plays dead. I thought
she plays possum,
too. That's what I thought, and then we don't see the repercussions of that.
It's a really strangely blocked scene. It feels like they decided later that they wanted her to live.
Oh my god, well, that's possible.
And it's so dark that it's hard to tell. I can't tell if Jake actually happens upon her.
Right.
Thinks she's
really
already dead.
It looks like it. It sure seems like it.
Yeah. Like he finds her.
In which case, I'm pretty shocked. I'm like, did playing possum work?
I was completely shocked.
I mean, I would have, like, he's going to bleed out eventually. That knife is just sticking out of his
back. Apparently not.
Because in the morning, Jennifer thinks she's safe, comes downstairs, and kaboom! A surprise Jay jumps out.
No. Leaps into frame, onto her. Jumps out.
Jumps out his bottom.
Exactly. Leaps into the movie.
That's why they say the worst thing you can do if you get stabbed with something is pull it out. You leave that knife in, and he survived the whole night.
You're
uncorking.
Genuinely, the way that he leaps into frame, I almost felt like he was waiting for her. At a certain point, he knew.
And that's kind of what I mean. Was like, it's extremely funny to me to think about the physics of what this, of what the outside of this frame looks like, because at all times, seemingly, there are either large trees or huge trampolines awaiting,
or he's falling from great heights, right? And he's just perfectly timed it. He's like free jumped off of a canyon somewhere miles away.
Then the cops pull up just in time to find Jay tussling with Jennifer, and they shoot him twice, I think.
Yeah, it's the Hollowgate ending.
They shoot him twice.
And I do want to point out that this, above all else, is the biggest wah we get.
Oh.
Like, they the second shot, he literally goes, wah!
It was funny. We were sitting there, and Josh was like, you gotta double tap. And I'm like, to be fair, the one person who can't double tap probably legally is a cop. Like, you can't, like, a cop can't just sit over someone and be like, bang! Bang, 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 bang.
But he kind of did.
Jamie, tell that to the cops.
I know. I'm just saying, in an ideal world.
No, the truth is so much worse, y'all. Like, what makes our world so sick and disgusting, right, is the truth is that cops are taught to, like, keep shooting till the problem is over. The training that makes all the racist and awful shit possible is they're taught to, like, just keep pulling the trigger until the person stops doing whatever it is they're doing.
But that's exactly what he did in the movie.
And I'll say,
he didn't know he was in a horror movie.
Doesn't work, though.
No, because he didn't know he was in a horror movie.
Well, with all this talk of anti-cinema and this movie, I kind of wish it leaned into that a little more, and, like, he didn't wake up. Ooh. Like, the movie just ended on his dead body, and then we cut to credits. Every horror slasher guy gets back up. I'm sick of it.
You're right. It was anticlimactic because we knew it was coming.
We knew it was coming.
This is what I'll argue. Like, Michael Myers, that doesn't make sense to me because he was a child, turned into a man, just keeps coming back. This guy is made out of frozen meatloaf. he's so large and so dense.
And so high, still
riding the wave of PCP. Like, I fully believe that nothing will penetrate his body. Nothing will kill him. Like, I just, based on build alone, just his physique tells me that he's impossible.
I felt like when he opens his eyes at the end, it sort of ruins it from a similar but different stance, because it's like it makes him just Michael Myers, right? Mm-hmm. And what was sort of fun about this movie is how it was failing on it explains him by not explaining him. Like, what was sort of fascinatingly weird about this movie is he's not supernatural. He's not anything, really. He literally starts frame one is him killing people, right? And if it had ended with just the guy who died, the guy who killed everyone being dead, like, Just nothing. There is no explanation. Like, there's no, like, oh, he rises again. He kills out of some whatever, like, slasher-induced lust towards evil.
I think every time a movie does that, it's the confidence of there being a sequel. So I appreciate that Home Sweet Home and producers, directors, writers alike were like, yeah, we can keep this going.
I feel like this one in particular, though, just because of the legend around the use of PCP and its inhuman-like qualities that it reportedly gives to its users, I actually think that this is more thematically interesting than that, because...
Ooh. I forgot about the PCP.
Yeah, that, like...
It's so funny. It's such an intense image. He, like, injects himself under his tongue with PCP, and I've totally forgotten
that. That's what's driving him this entire time.
Yeah.
Like, they make a point to say it, too, on the radio. They're like, escape.
He's probably on PCP.
Yeah. I mean, like most things, though, doesn't it always kind of come back around to, like, anti-drug PSA? At least, like, in the movies that I've watched for this podcast.
You don't go broke in the entertainment industry in America making, like, vaguely satirical American stories about drug use, right? And ultimately just blaming drug users. Thanksgiving is such a fraught American iconography that, like, mixing that with, and you know what the real failure of the American project is? All these hopheads going crazy, you know? Like, that's cooked into everything. Speaking of hopheads,
do it.
You'd know I'm a slasher, but that story's old. I had to drive away high so I could come home low and then take more PCP and get high again. Let me stab your heart. Let me lick on your bones. If I could kill you tonight, I'm coming off this long and winding road called Mulholland Drive where we filmed it. I'm on my way. I'm on my way home, sweet home.
The Home Sweet Home ripoff report card is brought to you by 1-900-MIME-RHYMES. Call today. You'll hear your favorite classics like this.
Oh,
they kill me. Body by Jake's maniacal PCP-induced killer plays on an interesting, if very short-lived, moral panic. That of the violent PCP user.
Oh.
There was a small but potent outcry of the dangers of PCP in the media and social consciousness from roughly 1977 until 1979 before petering out of the national attention. A moral panic is basically a large-scale and disproportionate social reaction to change. The concept was foisted into academic circles by Stanley Cohen in his 1972 book Folk Devils and Moral Panics, which centered on the British reaction to the rivalry between the mod and rocker youth subcultures in the 1960s and 70s, where violence between the groups spurred a wave of outrage from Brits, ultimately leading to oppressive legislation targeting minority groups. This is consistent with moral panics. A new other, or folk devil, is identified. It scares the pants off normies due, at least in part, to a sensationalized media coverage, and often legislation is put in place before it ultimately fizzles out of consciousness. Other moral panics of note were the 80s Satanic Panic and crack epidemic, the 50s Red Scare and Lavender Scare, and I would even say the QAnon conspiracy and wellness subcultures are teetering on moral panics today. Hallmarks of moral panics include street crime, child abuse, immigration, media tech, and of course, drugs and alcohol. PCP is a synthetic drug created in 1956 as a form of anesthesia, but was ultimately replaced by other drugs such as ketamine when the side effects of PCP outweighed its beneficial use before being disallowed for human use in 1965. It became a recreational drug in the 60s, ultimately peaking in usage in the 70s when a wave of moral panic about the drug came to the fore. What's interesting is that PCP, or angel dust, usage always remained relatively low, even at the height of its popularity. In PCP and the American media, the social response to a forgotten drug fad, Jacob Tyler analyzes the media response to PCP as well as looks at other texts that offer the idea that not only was the media attention hyperbolic in its messaging, it was sometimes making up stories whole hog or misattributing effects of premeditated attacks to the psychotropic effects of PCP. It seems that many of the things that we learned in DARE, that PCP would throw an average user into wild rage, lashing out at loved ones or making us unstoppable monsters, or later, such things as ecstasy put holes in one's brains, is indeed a largely fictitious account of the effects of these drugs. PCP, for its part, can create a schizophrenic-like effects, and users experience the drug in profoundly different ways. But its ubiquity in creating a violent user was both overblown by spurious medical research, lazy journalism, and fear. In 1978, Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes said, "PCP is the number one drug problem plaguing the United States."
What?
Taylor emphasizes another. He said, "One striking description from the New York Times stated, PCP destroys brain tissue. It puts you either into a god syndrome or makes you depressed and violent. It creates a situation where a young woman can kill and eat her own children." The hyperbolic nature of such statements is self-evident. By 1981, when Home Sweet Home was released, this panic had largely subsided, at least on the national front, and media attention had turned elsewhere. But it was, in some ways, simply a precursor to the larger moral panic that would mark Reagan's war on drugs that we're all still living through today. And that has been Greg's bummer, Home Sweet Home, Rip Off Report Card.
How does it feel? How does it feel?
Not good.
Oh, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Home Sweet Home. Oh, we wanna say that PCP is actually good. It's good. Everyone do it. It's fun. That's our stance. Good night.
I don't know. Can you
rip off report card?
I don't know where you find PCP.
All right, classmates. That was Home Sweet Home. Oh, you Trypta fans out there, we'll leave you with one last dish. What from Home Sweet Home might end up on the final test?
In lieu of a final thought, I would like to score everyone's final thoughts in the style of Home Sweet Home.
Despite the disappointment of Jay waking up at the end and not dying, I could have done with a few sequels. Jay Takes Manhattan, Jay Goes to Hell, JX, where he is frozen and wakes up in future space. I mean, come on, call me Hollywood.
This is wild.
Fucking Tito Puente over there.
Me, one of the cops, sucking down my cigarette, standing over the killer's dead body, saying, "Imagine the irony. A killer killed by being killed."
My final thought is, it's just a really genuine one, which is that I'm really happy to be here for the third time.
Well, my final thought is... Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you're stuffed from all that movie. And we have a few thanks to give out ourselves. Thank you to Seth Applebaum of Ghost Funk Orchestra and Gabriella Tessitore of Scout Harris for our theme song. Thank you to Justin Ferraro of The Rizzos and Lowboy for our bed music. Thank you so much to Ann Shear for our amazing logo. Thank you to our teacher, Mr. Philip Marlowe. And a big thank you to all of our listeners from the Video High class, Casey Regan, Jamie Kennedy, Josh Roth, and myself, Greg Hansen.
Do we need to do a plug for Chloe? I think you're just a friend.
I'm a friend.
Wait, can I do the plug for Chloe?
Yes.
Yeah, do it. Okay.
My favorite meme account liked my Instagram post of your blood freak painting.
Oh!
Honestly, it feels so sad, but in our current era, it honestly was like a meaningful celebrity interaction for me. You know, it feels like high art to be liked by a meme page. Massachusetts heads out there, or New England heads, really, will love it. At square one mall golf.
I gotcha.
And it's all like North Shore specific Massachusetts memes. Beautiful. And I highly recommend
meme accounts. At Americana at Brand.
Americana at Brand.
And they liked At Lil Something's painting of Blood Freak, which is beautiful.
A masterpiece.
Thank you. We love having you on, Chloe.
Thank you so much.
For the next class, we take a trip to the City of Angels for 1989's L.A. Bounty. Remember, find us on social media, like us, listen, give us 5-star reviews, all that good stuff, and we'll be extra thankful.
Do you not say the 405 or the 101?
Do we know it's the 5 or the 101?
We have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was the 405, but...
Definitely
Greg,
not.
Greg, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this. It's like opening a bag of chips at the beach. It's like the gulls just gather. It's like
505, 405, 101, PCH.
Simple Equations Podcast Network.